Welcome to the Young Grit Podcast for young entrepreneurs and their families, where we tell stories and lessons learned from the world's top leaders when they were kids. We're your hosts. I'm Scott.
And this is Trav.
We're best buds, and we've served millions of kids in our businesses. And we're on a quest to help young entrepreneurs succeed. Today's podcast is brought to you by MyFirstSale.com. Are you looking for a cool idea to get your kid business started? Head on over to MyFirstSale.com/150, that's 150, to receive a list of 150 great business ideas today. This is a great way for you to get your wheels spinning and think of some fun ideas to get your kid business launched from your living room. All of our kids make hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, in their launch week. It's a 12-hour program, and it gives kids a ton of confidence for the future and some cash to spend. Head on over to MyFirstSale.com/150 today. Welcome to episode 20. The show notes, transcript, and kid business tips for the episode are located at myfirstsale.com/120. That's myfirstsale.com/120. All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of the Young Grit Podcast. I've got Scott here and my buddy Trav. Trav, how's it going?
It's going great. Loving life, man.
All right, and we have a very, very special guest today. He is a prolific entrepreneur, one of our heroes from afar. This is the first time we've met. Trav, I'm going to let you do a full intro of Mr. Jeff. We'll call him on the podcast today. Why don't you go into it, and then we'll start asking questions, Trav.
Sure. So I want to welcome everybody and introduce to you Mr. Jeff Hoffman. He's a successful entrepreneur. He's a proven CEO, a worldwide motivational speaker, a best-selling author, a Hollywood film producer. He also produced a Grammy award-winning jazz album. He's done so many things. I mean, I can't even read his whole bio because he's done lots of things. Many of you have heard of Priceline.com, Booking.com, which he started, and he's been a part of a lot of other startups.
Kids, if you're listening, yeah, you got to say this. This is important. Kids, if you're listening, if your parents have ever booked something online, Jeff probably made it. Okay. Yeah. There's the easiest way to explain it to the kids out there. So we are very excited to talk to you, Jeff, today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me today.
This is going to be really, really fun. So we always start with some fun questions just off the cuff. Tell us what you think about them. First thing that comes to mind, favorite ice cream.
Oh, that's easy. It's pralines and cream at Baskin Robbins. If I don't even know if some of the kids know that store, but that's the flavor.
Pralines and cream. There you go. I got to write that one down. I don't think I've ever had that.
Long time favorite. Hard to find now.
Okay. Pralines and cream. Favorite superpower. What would you have as a superpower if you could ever have one?
Okay. I'm going to guess you haven't heard this one, but here's my superpower. I want to be able to eat anything I want, anytime, as much as I want, and be 100% healthy no matter what.
Okay.
I would be eating that ice cream.
Yes. So basically you want the digestive tract of a child.
Unlimited health. Yes.
There you go. All right. That's a great dream. That's a great superpower right there. Okay. Last one. If there was one person that you could have dinner with, and they could be past, present, or even future, if that's a possibility. They could be alive. They could be deceased. They could be anything. Who would it be and why?
There's two, but I want to pick one really fast, which is Thomas Jefferson. Because the dude that wrote the Constitution, seriously, we have this country because he was so ahead of his time. And if any of the kids have ever gone on a field trip to Washington, D.C., or vacation with your family, and you stand in the Jefferson Memorial and you read all these quotes on the wall, you're like, how did this guy 200 and something years ago know what our country was going to be? So I would love to ask him a whole bunch of questions about how this country was launched. So Thomas Jefferson's my answer.
I love it. Yeah, I think him or George Washington for me would be
pretty darn cool.
Really near the top of my list. It is amazing to think, and this is entrepreneurship, I think, at its best, right? Let's talk about this for a second. Starting an entire country and a whole mindset that's related to creating a free and democratic society for the first time. Let's talk about that.
you totally hit an important thing, because entrepreneurship is not a job, it's an attitude. It's not a mindset about making money. I don't want kids to focus on that. That's important, we'll come to that. But it's the attitude, it's the mindset of designing your future. You should want to be an entrepreneur because entrepreneurs design the future instead of waiting to see what it's going to be. I'll just tell you mine really quick, because I grew up with a single mom, four kids, little desert town in Arizona, no money. And you know what I was going to do, Scott? I was going to go see the world. And all my friends, like, I'm going to go to 50 countries. My friends laughed. Dude, just get a job. You know, you're a kid with big dreams and they're silly. And yeah. I said, why is travel, going to 50 countries and seeing the world silly? And they said, because you're broke and your single mom's broke. Just go get a job like everybody else. So entrepreneurship, I didn't dream about money. I had a globe in my room and I would spin that globe and look at all these countries and look up, pick the name of one. And sometimes I'd close my eyes, spin the globe and touch one. And then wherever my finger wound up, which by the way, Earth is mostly water, so you got to try it three times.
Yeah.
But eventually I'd get a country. And I remember one time it was Morocco. And so I went immediately and started researching Morocco. When I fell asleep, I was dreaming about Morocco. And then I was like, someday I will see that. But my friends laughed. And so entrepreneurship is about saying, I know what I want my life to look like. I know what future I want, and I'm just going to create it. And that's exactly, now you should be less surprised that I was starting travel companies, because guess what? I want to travel.
Wow. That's awesome. So that's a great point. So talking about creating and designing, Jeff, for a minute, could you share a story about your very first entrepreneurial creation or design or venture? It could be as a kid, if you did it as a kid, or just your earliest memory of that.
Absolutely. So I mentioned that I had a single mom and four kids, and she was doing the best she could working more than one job. And so I would watch my mom work that hard to keep us near the school she wanted us to. She didn't have to do that. And I never again thought about entrepreneurship, but here's what I thought: independence. Man, how cool is it to not have to ask your parents? You know what I wanted, guys? I wanted a cool bike, right? Everybody, before you could have a car, you had a bike. And my bike was crap. And some of my friends had cool bikes that their parents bought them. And I was like, I am not going to bother my mom who's struggling and ask her to buy me a nice bike. But what if I could buy literally one piece of the bike at a time until I got all the parts and then make my own cool bike? So you know what I did? I said, I'm going to do this myself. I want independence. And so I did everything. I went down the street and I asked people, can I mow your lawn? No, we got someone that does that. Can I clean your garage? It looks messy. And they're like, you know what? It does look messy. Why don't you clean it? Anything I could do, rake leaves. Some people had a pool. I said, you want me to sweep your pool? I would ask people, and sometimes I just ring the bell and say, what is it that you haven't gotten around doing that you need done that you'll pay me to do? And they would laugh and say, you know what, kid, that's a good attitude. I'll find something. And so it was about independence. I did every possible job from mowing lawns to cleaning pools to cleaning garages just to make money. But what was cool was not only did I make the bike, but when my buddies were going to, like, when we'd go to a movie, they'd say, let me ask my mom, see if she'll give me money to go to the movie. And I'd be like, I don't have to ask anybody. I make my money. And yeah. I'd say, mom says no, I'll buy you pizza and I'll pay for the movie. And they're like, dude. And I'd be like, seriously. So independence is where it started. My first real company, though, I'll just tell you guys quickly, was I had this big dream, education. I fundamentally believe this. The key to everything you want to do in life is education, right? Is becoming a good learner. And that's how I later moved from the tech industry to music and movies, because I learned how to learn. So I wanted a good education. So I had this crazy idea. I was going to go to this good college. And I'm not saying anyone needs to do this, but I wanted to go to Yale. And all my friends laughed at me. My teachers laughed at me. Kids like you don't go to places like that. I was like, wow, that's my teacher telling me to. And she's like, it's a stupid dream. So I worked really hard. No one believed it. I got into Yale. The day I got there, I got kicked out because I didn't pay. And I'm not mad at the university. You got to pay. It's an expensive school, but I don't have any money. And they said, then you can't go here. And I said, I work way too hard to quit now. And they're like, well, you don't have any money. So I started my first little software company the second day of college. And I funded my, I paid for my entire college. I graduated from Yale in 4 years. I paid for the whole thing myself by starting a little software company on campus. And by the way, I had no idea what I was doing. The only thing I knew for sure was I ain't going home. I'm getting this diploma and I will figure this stuff out, whatever it takes. That was my first real entrepreneurial venture. But I was had that attitude since I was a kid of independence.
Well, you know what I love too, and kids, y'all heard Jeff just mention this in multiple instances, is from the very beginning, Jeff, you really learned how to solve problems, right? And we've talked with, you know, other famous entrepreneurs on this podcast about being a problem solver. And it's like in the beginning, you're asking for people and you're asking what their problem was, and they're telling you, you know, about their garage or whatnot. And then the next problem when you get to Yale is I can't go to school unless I don't pay. And instead of being in a victim mindset, you're in a create mindset, which kids,
absolutely. So
that is gold.
You know, you hit the key thing. Entrepreneurship equals sign problem solving. It's all about solving a problem for someone else that they consider valuable enough that they would pay you to do it. If you're solving a problem that they're like, yeah, I don't really care if you do that or not, no one's going to pay you. So being a good entrepreneur means solving problems people care about. Let me tell you guys, I'll go to the next one. Because when I got out of college, I'll tell you about my first company.
Bring it.
After college, I got a job at a big company. Now, everybody listening, you should do what you want to do. Not what I did. There's no right or wrong. But I'm just telling you that I told you guys I wanted to go see the world. And I had this dream that someday when I'm older, which turns out I suddenly am, I want to have said, man, I've been to 50 different countries. I have seen the world. That was my goal. I'd never been anywhere outside my neighborhood at that point, right? And so I got a job because everyone said, go get a job. And I got a job at a big company, an engineering company. And I just sat in my cubicle every day. And I'm not saying that's wrong. This is your individual choice. But I hated it. I was like, I'm not seeing the world, man. All I can see is the cubicle next to me. This is not working out the way I planned. So to be honest, I was 20 something years old. I quit. My mom was all mad. Dude, you had a good job and you quit? I said, Mom, I don't have a good life. I hate my job. I get paid well, but that doesn't make me happy. And I'm not doing anything that I dreamed of doing. So I bought an airline ticket to go see a mentor. And I was 20 something years old, unemployed, broke. Everybody was mad at me. I went to the airport and it was really busy. And the line to check in was super long and I missed the flight. And I was standing there. So now I'm going to come back to problem solving. For all you, all young people listening, what do most people do when there's a problem? They complain about it and then they go back to what they were doing. Man, the line was so long, I missed the flight. But you go home and complain more. And so the best entrepreneurs, when they see a problem, instead of complaining, they say, wait a minute, I wonder if I could fix this. So I missed the flight. I'm standing in the airport after waiting all that line, because back then, all that time, you waited in line, you got to the front, you showed the airline person your ID, and they gave you a boarding card, which a boarding pass is a piece of paper like this. And I said to the lady, really? I stood in line all this time for an hour and all you did was hit print? And she's like, next customer. And I was like, well, ma'am, I'm talking to you. And she's like, next customer. And I was like, we're standing in line for an hour and you're printing pieces of paper. And she's like, next. So I stood there and I was like, this is insane. I'm going to fix it. And so I started my first company out of school that Friday, when I was 22 years old, 20 something years old, broke and unemployed. And for any of you that have traveled or gone to an airport, if you've ever checked in on a kiosk, you walk up to these kiosks, they look like an ATM, and you check yourself in by yourself to a flight. That was my first invention. And we were able to sell those to airports all over the world. And I'm not here to talk to you about money, but when you solve a problem that a lot of people care about, I was 20 something years old, I was broke. And then a couple of years later, we made millions and millions of dollars because every airport in the world said, those are cool, can we buy one from you? Solve a real problem. You know what else was cool, gentlemen? Was guess what my job was? Every week I had to fly to a different country to deliver those things. So my goal of one day seeing 50 countries, I've been to 97 countries now. And here's the crazy part, I get paid to go. That's all I ever wanted to do. Was pay my bills and go see the world. And I found a way to do both. That's what entrepreneurship is about. Solve a problem in the industry that you want to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, Jeff. We have this thing called a sweet spot,
right? That we teach kids. It's what do you love to do? What are you really good at? Because those aren't always the same, right? You got to be really good at it and you got to love it. And then the third one is a need in the world. A need or a want to solve, a problem to solve, something to fix. Someone wants or needs something. And where do those three things align? Anything inside that triangle is a home run. It's a sweet spot for you. You're going to have flow time. You're going to have energy. You're going to be excited about it. It's not about money. It's about passion. And so, you know, it's great to test anything and use those as kind of like the guardrails, right? You could do a million things inside that triangle, you know, just make sure it's in that sweet spot. So I think
that is absolutely excellent advice. And you're absolutely right. It took me a little bit to figure out those things, right? What was the real need in the world? And what was I good at? And what did I love doing? What you're trying, if you're not thinking about those things, you'll never see them coming.
Yeah.
So you have to think about those to be able to find them.
Yeah. That's great. That's so great for kids listening, because you never know until you just try things. You got to test, you got to learn, you got to be curious to just find problems to solve. You know, one of my favorite stories of childhood was just literally solving an issue with like people losing their keychains. And so I'm thinking, what's a fun way to like help people with a keychain? And I thought like the first keychain holder idea I ever had in third grade was little bead gecko keychains. So I started making these glow in the dark little keychain beads when I was, you know, whatever, 9 years old or something. And I made 100 of them. And then I started hiring all my friends in class and paid them like a quarter to make one. And so, and so we start selling them for $1.50 all over the city. And I ultimately got shut down by the principal and suspended because no one was going to recess. But it was so good to think, okay, what can I try? What am I interested in? I made origami. I did a million things when we were young. You were knocking on people's doors saying, what are some things I can do to help you? Because you had a goal of this bike, right? Like, it's so smart to test and try as many things as you can think of as a kid.
And you are exactly right. You people always ask me, how will I know what my sweet spot is? And I always tell them, you won't know till you get there. So go somewhere, start moving. One of the things I did, just to your exact example, was I saw this ad in a magazine, and it was to sell like seeds for people to plant gardens in their home. So I ordered them and they sent me the thing, and I started knocking people's doors. And I said, you want to buy seeds to plant your own like vegetables? And they're like, well, tell me what it takes to grow the vegetables. I was like, I'm out. I already knew. I can't answer the questions. I don't know what you're talking about. I already hate this. Next. My mom's like, what happened with the seed thing? I said, that didn't last 2 days. She said, what's next? I said, I'll figure something else out tomorrow. Trying things and deciding, knowing what you don't like is sometimes just as important as knowing what you do like, but you're not going to find out till you try it. Mm-hmm. So you are right. Go try stuff. Mm-hmm. Go try stuff. And if you don't like it, stop and do something else. But at least you can say, that's got a big X through it. I ain't doing that again.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because in one of our core values here, you know, Younger at My First Sale is, you know, try new things. And we talk about failing forward. So, you know, kids these days, kids that are listening, you know, it's okay to fail. And it's okay to mess up. Because to Jeff's point, that's where the real learning is, right? We've talked about that before in the podcast. So I love hearing a real world example where you just said, oh, okay, we didn't make it. And you know, I think it's challenging sometimes because in school we're taught to not fail, right?
Right.
The goal is to get an A.
Right.
But when we get in the real world, actually the goal should be to fail as many times as you can so that you
whatever
can find.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Cheap, fail cheap and quick. Yeah. That's the goal.
You're absolutely right. Fail fast. And here's the thing. Anything worth doing is hard enough, right? If it's easy, it's not worth doing. It's hard enough that you're going to fail along the way. A buddy of mine that's an NFL football player. One day I was talking to him after a game they lost. And I said, how are you feeling, man? Is this a good time? This friend of mine, Todd Gurley, used to play for the Rams. And Todd's like, it's fine. Why? I said, I don't know if you'd be in a bad mood. He said, what do you mean? Half the teams in the entire NFL lost today. That's a pretty good perspective. I said, well, you lost. He said, literally half the players in the entire NFL lost today. So you can't focus on that. You just come back next week. And I had never really thought it that way. I was like, you might be down from losing. And he's like, no, that ain't the way it works. I did this event one night. And it was me, and I hope some of the kids still know him, but it was Tony Hawk, a skater. And Tony is the skateboard guy that's the only person ever to do a full 720 and stick it in competition. So he and I are sitting up there talking to these kids. And I was like, hey, Hawk. He's like, what? I said, so you just got on a board and did the 720 first time and nailed it. He said, what? I said, didn't you just get on your board and do a 720? He said, my mom took me to the hospital 9 times over like 6 months before I landed it the first time. I said, wait, you fell? He said, a million times. I said, well, you're a failure. He said, well, you can't just get on a board and do a 720, Jeff. You got to work and try and fall and get up and sometimes need stitches in your elbow. And he said, nothing worth doing just happens. He said, I worked on it, worked on it, worked on it. Failure is part of success if you're trying to do something that's really worth doing.
Wow. Yeah, that's so good.
Great analogy.
And I know a lot of kids, you know, you don't have to fear it, especially when you're young, especially when you have things to try. You know, you don't have to be worried. I mean, sometimes people feel like the older you get, the harder it is to risk, right? You might have, you know, kids or a spouse or a mortgage or a bunch of other debt, or you're worried about what other people think. When you're young, you know, it's the easiest time to try new things. You have the most confidence. You're most excited. You're most curious. Try as many things as you can. That's the journey. That's the most fun to us. I mean, we're all three entrepreneurs on this call who have tried everything and we love it. And you find your sweet spot by doing that. So what a great story. Let me ask about this mindset thing real quick, Jeff, because I know this is huge. And you coach, for everyone listening, Jeff coaches kids in entrepreneurial days with EO. He has a lot of, his heart is to help kids learn about this stuff. And so I want to dig in a little bit more into other mindsets that you teach kids, other than the ones we've talked about so far. What do you think for the kids out there listening would be like the best mindset to have as they start to grow up? A lot of these kids are going into middle school, into high school, into college, even some of these are, you know, out of high school. Sure. What kind of mindsets come to mind for you?
So there's a few things. The first one we already touched on a little bit. While everybody else is complaining, you be the person that does something about it. You go out and fix it. I have in my office in these four words written on the wall in giant letters. And I'll tell everybody what I wrote. I wrote this, I wrote, there is no they. And you know why I wrote that? Because I would watch people and every time there's a problem, they'd say, man, they should fix that, right? In the airport, these lines are long. They should do something about these lines. If you're at school, I had this experience with some kids at school when I went outside at their recess. I was there speaking to kids and a bunch of them were hot and sweaty. And I was like, the one kid's panning. I said, get something to drink. He said, I can't. The fountain's broken. They need to fix it. So everybody says they should do it. The attitude you should have is there is no they, it's me. I actually said to this kid, you think you could fix it? He said, no way. I said, you didn't even try. I'm going to skip the story in the interest of time. By Friday, we put a little team of kids together. We wrote a project plan and the kids fixed the entire drinking. They fixed the fountain and they built a whole new rest and snack area outside with no adult involvement. Because I said, stop complaining and go do it yourself. Everything you try won't work, but that's the first attitude. Everyone else complains, you be the one that fixes things. By the way, whether this matters to you or not, those are the people that get paid. Those are the people that live the really cool life because they got rewarded for being the person that fixed what everybody else was complaining about. The second part of a mindset is to learn to listen way more than you speak. I was a CEO when I was young, and sometimes I'd go to a meeting and I'd call my employees in and they would say, you haven't said anything yet and you're the boss. I said, because I'm not done listening to all of you. When I've heard what all of you have say, I will think for a few minutes, then I will speak. I want to hear all of the different opinions and ideas before I make a decision. So when you're in the world, even now as kids, listen hard, whether it's adults, parents, your friends, the more you listen, the more you understand the world around you and the better you are able to navigate the world, to figure out who you need, what you need and how to get it. It doesn't come from speaking. It comes from listening a lot more than you speak. A lot of times when I figured out how to do stuff, people would say to me, how did you know how to do that? And the answer was simple. I said, you guys were all yapping away and I was listening really hard. So I actually understood what was going on here. I think that is one as well. And I'll say the last one of mindset. And that's the mindset about, you guys, I think, know that my business partner, hopefully the kids know him, but he's a rapper. His name's Pitbull. And Pitbull's my business partner. And the other day we were talking to some kids. Pitbull, we were building schools. And Pitbull said to a kid who was hanging out with some questionable people, he said, he was asking Pitbull, how'd you get to where you are? And Pitbull said this famous saying, he said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I was like, that is so true. Think about who you spend time with. Think about who you are around, who you listen to, and surround yourself with good people. If you're, quote, friends with people that are doing the wrong thing, behaving the wrong way and having a bad attitude, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be one of them. When you're around people that are positive and focused and want to make a difference and do the right thing, you're going to be like that. So that's the third thing, guys, is surround yourself with the right people. Because that really determines your future, who's around you.
I love that.
That was long.
I'm going to repeat these out loud for myself. Awesome. So responsibility, being quick to listen, and community and friends, thank you. That's so good. And just when you're saying that, Jeff, it makes me think, Scott, when we started, my first sale, we actually have two young entrepreneurs and the name of their business is actually called Create or Complain.
I love it.
They took their family value. One of their family values, which was create or complain. And they made an apparel company out of it. And I think they're about to hit $5,000 in sales
on the website.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Send me the link so I can buy a shirt.
I will. I'll do it, but
I'll definitely support that. I love it.
So there's kids creating businesses even on these ideas that are so healthy and beneficial, which is cool.
As I look back too, Jeff, that's so profound because, I did hear one time they said you become the sum total of the five closest people in your life. And I remember as I think back to the people that have, mentored me or I've surrounded myself with, or I choose to, have those voices speak into my life. It's amazing to see where that led me and in a good way, right? I chose to listen to the right voices, to follow certain mentors, to go down a certain path with certain people. And now, my life right now and our family and our kids, we are surrounded by a community of other like-minded families and men that are entrepreneurial minded. They care about their community, just amazing people. And our wives are very, very similar. And so you do become who you hang out with. And
absolutely.
And it's not necessarily the cool kids who are going to be successful in life. That's probably one of the most important things I learned was, whatever people think of popularity or if somebody wants to bully to look cool or witty, that's not necessarily what we're talking about. If you really want to know what success looks like, look to people that you want to be like when you grow up. And then think about the type of people you want to be around to reach that. That's what
that
I would
say. That is perfect. You know what? People always ask me about mentors, right? Because when you're young, it's helpful to have a mentor. And people tell me, how do I pick a mentor? And I give them the answer you just gave. It's really simple. Find somebody you want to be like when you grow up. That's the person you should listen to. And I'll say this in a way that I wrote down on my board as well. One day I wrote down, The problem is that we get our advice from proximity and not from relevance. And to make that in simple English, you're listening to the people that you see every day, but that doesn't mean they know, right? There are people that are around you because they have proximity, just closeness to you, that are telling you how you should run your life and what you should do. That doesn't mean you should listen to them just because they're there. So who should you listen to? Relevance. And relevance means people you want to be like. So when I was looking for a mentor, I was looking around the city I lived in, to see if there was someone I'd heard of that I wanted to be like when I grew up. And then I just cold emailed him and emailed him and emailed him and emailed him. And one day he finally replied and said, I'll meet you for breakfast. And he became my mentor. I said, I want to be like you, man. How do I get there? And he helped me understand that. So yeah, completely agree with you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think we have time for one more question, Scott. I've got one, but if you've got a really good one, go for it.
I could ask a million questions, but go ahead. I think we'll keep going. We have about 6-7 more minutes, but go ahead.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Jeff. You know, you obviously you've had lots of experiences. You've done all kinds of things. You know, I'd love to ask you more about your movies and your jazz albums, but if you could go back, you know, to your younger self, and maybe we even zoom out of entrepreneurship, but maybe just life in general, what piece of advice would you give yourself that you now know today?
Yeah, so I think we just touched on a little bit, so I can answer it kind of quickly.
Sure.
Which is stop. First of all, don't let anybody else tell you who you should be and what you're capable of, because they will. And it's intimidating when it's parents or teachers. When they said to me, I said, I want to go to Yale. And they said, not going to happen. I first doubted myself. Why do all the adults and even teachers tell me I'm crazy? And it turns out I wasn't crazy. I was just brave, but they almost talked me into it. I almost stopped. When we started our music company, everybody said, that's insane. You're a fool. Don't do it. And I remember one day, as you said, we won a Grammy, and I'm standing on the red carpets at the Grammy, and we just won a Grammy. You know what I'm thinking? Good thing I didn't listen to those people, because I wouldn't be standing here right now. So I think that's the biggest piece of advice. There were moments in my life that I let everybody else tell me what I could do and what I couldn't do. And when someone's telling you what you can't do, they're basing that on their fear of trying it. They're saying it because they don't know how they could do it. They don't know you. They're not you. So that's it. I wish I hadn't listened to a lot of people that talked me out of a lot of things earlier on, because I was like, well, that's my father or that's my teacher or whatever. They're probably smarter than me. They might be smarter than you, but they're probably not braver than you. I wasn't afraid to try. I just got talked out of it. So that's it. I let a lot of people talk me out of things that I shouldn't have. And later I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it anyway. Don't let the world tell you what you can do. You try it. You might fail. But trying and failing is way better than spending your whole life wondering if you could have done it. When we did the movie company or the TV stuff, if I didn't start that, make a movie, I would have spent the whole rest of my life. It might have failed, but I would have spent the whole rest of my life every time I went to the movie theater feeling sick to my stomach, because I would have wondered, could I have done this? Who knows? You never try. Just try.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. Yeah, that's such good advice. Oh my goodness. A lot of people say certain things to you out of their own insecurity,
yes,
and their own fear. And they shirking that off is probably one of the most freeing things you can do. Now, it's great to listen to great advice and wisdom from other people and coaching. But if somebody wants to try to limit you or stoke fear, it's smarter to look inside yourself and say, what do I love? What am I good at? And what are the needs I'm trying to solve? You cannot go wrong when you play in that arena. And that's the right mindset, Jeff. This has been absolutely wonderful. So before we go, it's a Saturday. You've worked your booty off all week. And what would be like your favorite thing to do on like a Saturday, a hobby, or like what would be like the first thing that comes to mind?
There's a bunch. I'm an absolute sports spaz.
Okay.
All sports, whether it's playing basketball, whether it's outside throwing the football around, whether it's watching sports is probably first. But the answer to your question is, if I could get outside, right, if it's sunny somewhere and I can get outside and throw the football with some friends, in the neighborhood I used to live in, the kids would come get me and they're like, you're the quarterback for both teams. And I remember sometimes the parents would look out and they're like, what are the kids doing? They're throwing the football with some grown man. And like, isn't that our neighbor? I could hear them. I was like, I can hear you. Because that's my joy. Being outside, doing something physical, getting away from no devices, no computers, put it all down, breathe some fresh air and run around.
Yeah.
So that's mine, is just getting outside and playing for a while. I don't want to ever stop. I've had people criticize me. So they say, you're just like a big kid. And I was like, you know what? That's the biggest compliment you can give me.
Yep.
The day someone says, you're just like an old man, that's the worst thing you could say. When you say you're acting like a kid, you're complimenting me.
Yeah.
I just want to go out and play.
Yeah. I had a mentor one time many years ago tell me there's a huge difference between childish and childlike.
There you go.
And you're childlike, and it's a perfect line to walk. And that's what we should all be. I think entrepreneurs are dreamers at heart anyway. And so the more we keep our inner kid, the better off we're going to be.
You got it. And remember, no matter what you're doing, if you're not having fun doing it, do something else, right? Mm-hmm. Failure isn't fun. You know, it hurts sometimes and people make fun of you and you shake all that off. But in general, you should be having fun. You should be doing things in that triangle that make you happy. It's funny, Scott, because I've had people criticize me. Somebody said, why are you always in a good mood? And I was like, wait, that's bad? I was like, why are you asking me that? And he's like, well, it kind of irritates me. You always seem to be happy. And I was like, well, I'm sorry you're offended that I like my life. But I couldn't believe someone said that. You should be enjoying what you do or do something else, man. Don't let people ever make you feel like part of growing up is that you do crap that you hate. That's an easy out. Don't take that out. Find a way to do things that make you happy and just do them well. Like Scott, like you said, if they're doing things in that sweet spot, they'll do well at it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the biggest tricks is trying to spend most of your life making money so that you'll be happy later on. That's a trick. Then don't fall for it, kiddos.
Yes, be happy now.
Yep. Yep. Well done. This has been fantastic, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And thanks for all you're doing for kids all over the world. Thank you so much for all you're doing in the music world, in the movie world, in the tech world. You are an amazing entrepreneur and you have our respect. And thank you again for your time today.
Thank you. And I love hearing the stories about the kids. So reach out to me anytime. You guys know how to find me.
Today's podcast was made possible by MyFirstSale.com, a marketplace and community of kid entrepreneurs who are on a mission to change the world. If you want to empower your kids to take on the real world and make hundreds of dollars in their first small business, head over and check out MyFirstSale.com and join the community today. Okay, folks, we have a simple memory trick for you to make sure today's lessons stick deep down in your mind. It's called FAT, F-A-T. Yeah, I said it, FAT. Follow, act, and tell. So follow, the F is for follow us. We'd love for you to subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, or head over to myfirstsale.com/podcast and don't miss out on any future episodes. The A is for act. Take the next step today to be a kid entrepreneur. Head over to myfirstsale.com if you want to learn more about launching your own business as a kid. Join the community of other kid entrepreneurs around the world. And we have weekly videos on grit, delayed gratification, investing, budgeting, and more. And we even have 150 free kid business ideas for you to get the wheels spinning. And then the last part of FAT is T, tell someone. We would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes of your biggest lesson learned, or even simply post this podcast to your Facebook or Twitter and let us know the biggest lesson that you learned to your family and friends. That's it. We'll see you guys next time on Young Grit.